Amen. How many is glad to be in God's house? Isn't this wonderful to feel His presence and to know that He's here? Amen. Amongst us. Amen. On this Wednesday night. Just good to see everybody out. Good to have visitors. Brother Wheels back here. And then good to have Susan with us tonight. Everybody else, these young ladies over here. Good to have them back. Just good to see everybody. We honor our Lord when we study His Word. And so for our Bible study tonight, let's turn to the Sermon on the Mount. We're getting close to finishing it. We're in chapter 7, Matthew chapter 7, the words, the message of our Lord. And we're going beyond the Beatitudes as we study His Word. Praise God. Could we stand for the reading of His Word this evening? I'm going to go ahead and read the balance of what we're going to look at tonight. And those of you who got your Bibles, that's great. Leave your Bibles open. We may not always get it back up on the wall where we're at. And you'll be able to follow along where we're at in these verses when we begin to study them this evening. Before we read, let's pray just quickly here. Holy Spirit, we pray that You'd make the Word of Christ a living thing in our hearts tonight. Lord, You know every heart here, Lord, and You know every thought everyone is thinking, and You know how to turn our hearts and our thoughts upon You, and for us to sense Your presence and to realize You're doing something in our lives and our soul. Touch our souls tonight, Lord, through Your Word. It's alive, and may it be a living thing, Lord, upon us tonight and in our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's read. Ask, verse 7, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth, and he that seeketh, findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. Or what man is there of you whom, if his son ask bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask Him? Could you go back to verse 7, Brother Michael, right before you're seated here? This only works in English, but notice, anyone notice this? Notice the three things we're instructed to do. We're instructed to ask, seek, and knock. Take the first letter of each of those three things. A-S-K. So the first letter of those three things we're to do spells out ask. So tonight I want to talk about that, ask. We're going to talk about ask, seek, and knock. You can be seated. How many's going to be honest with me tonight? You see your hand. Okay, the rest of you are going to be dishonest. Be honest with me tonight. Has there been something you used to ask God for and you've now quit asking Him? Is there something you sought from God, but as of tonight you've quit seeking that? Think about that. I don't know if you became frustrated. I don't know if you became feeling like it was pointless, but you're no longer asking. You're no longer seeking. You're no longer knocking. Now, here's the thing about these verses. We go back to verse 7 here. I don't know if you could remember the first time you encountered these verses, but wasn't it exciting to think, ask, you're going to get. Seek, you're going to find. Knock. It's going to be, wasn't that exciting to discover these verses? I mean, they're so fraught and full of promise and possibility and excitement and hope. I mean, it was so exciting. And, you know, it just looks like God's promising us that we're just going to get what we pray for. The problem is when we first encounter these verses, we get excited. But after a while, if we don't watch it, the same verses can cause us to be disappointed and disillusioned and discouraged and doubtful. Why? Because many times it appears we're asking and we're not receiving. And it appears we're seeking and we're not finding. And it appears we've been knocking and nothing's been opened to us. So the same verses that delighted us, now they discourage us. Maybe it's a young person that figures it out. You're fixing to turn 16. You've been praying, oh God, give me a new car. Give me a car, any car. Give me a car for my 16th birthday. And you quoted the verse, ask and it shall be given you. Maybe you ask loud enough that your parents could hear you praying. And your 16th birthday comes, and guess what? No car. You're getting to be 18 and an old bachelor, an old maid, and you're praying, oh God, let them like me. Move on their heart and just change them so they like me, God. And you pray and she don't like you. If it's the other gender, he don't like you. And you say, wait a minute, I thought we could ask and receive. You get a little older, God, let me get in this college. You don't get in. Let me get that job. You don't get that job. Amen. Lord, help that preacher to get through in a hurry tonight. And he drags it out. And you say, wait a minute. I thought if we ask, we got. How many, let's continue to be honest. How many has ever felt like it wasn't working like these verses said it would? Come on, just be honest. It didn't seem like it. I think it ought to occur to us that if it doesn't seem to be working like we think it ought to, maybe we're not understanding what Jesus was saying. How many here has a desire tonight that you really want to really understand what Jesus was getting at? That's what we're going to do tonight. You see, if you take these verses wrong, and many people do, some folks start treating God like he's a vending machine. If we ask with just the right formula, and they'll put the pressure on, if you ask with just the right kind of faith and the right pitch of prayer, then God's going to give you whatever you want. You know, you put in three prayers and presto, out from the vending machine comes what you ask for. I don't think it's that way at all. Some people do. They make God the fairy, the wizard, the genie that gives you three wishes. You know, we always like that in fairy tales. They showed up, you got three wishes and I'm going to give you anything you want. And they approach God that way and they use these verses that way. And it doesn't seem to work. Now let me tell you where we're going. Jesus is saying something to us and it is full of promise and it is hopeful. But what we're to get out of this verse is two things. Persistence and trust. Amen. We're looking for God to do something through these verses, but through these verses, God is looking for us to be persistent and to trust him. I've got three words I'm going to center everything I want to say tonight around. Number one is the word command. The second is the word key. And the third is contribution. First of all, let's look at the command. Just back at verse 7, just real quickly here. And I want you that know your grammar, think with me, what form of sentence is this? Ask, seek, knock. What form of a sentence is that? That's a command. That's an imperative. Think about this. This is a command from Jesus to his followers. He says, I'm commanding you to ask. I'm commanding you to seek. I'm commanding you to not. You know, that's the sad thing. We ought to see prayer as this great, wonderful opportunity and privilege and invitation, and yet we have to be commanded to pray. And the reason is, most of the time, we find it easier to do everything but pray. We fret, we worry, we complain, we panic, we stew. But we don't pray. And Jesus has given us instruction very emphatically. He said, I'll tell you what you need to do. You need to pray. You need to ask. You need to seek. You need to knock. Amen. Thank you, Sister Katie. Because let me tell you something else about these verbs. You don't see it there in the English, but they are in a continuous imperative form. And she's already covered this tonight. But when Jesus said ask, he literally said to them, ask and keep on asking. Don't ever stop. Seek and keep on seeking. Don't ever stop. Knock and keep on knocking. And don't ever stop. It's about persistent. We believers are to be perpetual askers, perpetual seekers and knockers. In other words, it's to be our way of life and worship. It's just what we do. Now I want to tell you something. What I've just emphasized here, that these are a continual thing, flies in the face of the word of faith teaching. You can get a hold of that. I'm not suggesting you do, but if you watch very much religious television or listen to it, you'll get a hold of that stuff. You know, you ask God for something once. If you ask him the second time, you're showing a lack of faith. If you had enough faith, you'd ask him once. You ask God once and you claim it and you say, it is reality. That's not what Jesus said. He didn't say just ask one time and then do this hocus pocus of claiming it. He said ask and keep on asking until you receive. And seek and keep on seeking till you find. And knock and keep on knocking until it's open. A persistence. Amen. Don't despair. Don't doubt. Don't depend upon yourself. Ask, seek, and knock. Let me show you the difference, and I'm going to dwell on this very, very shortly here. But the difference of these words. Ask calls to mind a beggar. He lacks something, and he's begging. That's ask. Seek draws a picture in our mind of the searcher. He's lost something, and he's trying to find it. Knock draws a picture of a neighbor or a passing stranger that has an emergency and they've got to get help. It's a picture of the desperate. I got to have help. And Jesus says to us, ask, seek, knock. Secondly, I want to look at the key here. The key to understanding these verses. Now listen, I've preached many times from these verses, thought about them a lot, and the key just finally hit me because I'm really struggling with this that I've already drawn out to you. Why is it sometimes we ask God for something and we never seem to get it? And we really seek for something and never seem to get it. And then the key hit me. It's in these verses. Look what Jesus said. He says, verse 9, or what man is there of you whom if his son ask bread, will he give him a stone? There it is. There's the key of understanding these verses. You say, what are you saying, Pastor? Look what Jesus said. He said, you're an earthly father. If your son comes to you and asks for bread, are you going to be evil and cruel and laugh as you hand him a stone? But here's the key. Jesus, you know, the answer to that is no. No earthly father is going to be cruel. And when a son asks for bread, give him a stone. But here's the key. Jesus never, ever says the Father gives him bread. It just says the Father doesn't give him a stone. In other words, the Son may come ask for bread, and the Father may say, what you need right now isn't bread, it's meat. It never said he'd give him bread if he asked for bread. He did say if he asked for bread, he won't give him a stone. That would be cruel. There's no sustenance in a rock. There's no nourishment in a rock. So he's not going to give him a stone, but he never said he'd give him bread. Let's look at the second one there. Jesus said, let me give you another example. If your son asks for a fish, if the son asks for a fish, will the Father give him a snake? Now again, it never said he would give him a fish, but it gave him the promise he would not give him something bad. Wouldn't that be a cruel joke? Oh, Dad, I'm hungry. Oh, can I have a fish? And the dad laughs and hands him a serpent that bites him. No. And what Jesus is saying, you ask, and God's going to give to you. He may not give you the exact thing you're asking for, but you can rest assured he's certainly not going to give you something bad, and he will be giving you what you really need. Amen. Not the stone, not the serpent, maybe not the bread, maybe not the fish, but whatever he gives when you ask is going to be good, exactly what you need, exactly with what will help you. That's what a good father would do. You that are fathers, you know how often that happens. Especially when you have little kids. They run in there. Dad, Mom, can I have a bowl of ice cream? No. But you can have a bowl of cereal. Because you know that they need cereal right now, not ice cream. You didn't give them exactly what they want, but you sure did give them a bowl full of marbles. Okay? You gave them something good and not harmful. Now, I don't know if you've ever thought about this either. Go back to verse 9 for just a moment. Have you ever thought about this? A stone could look like a piece of bread. You could get a stone that would look like a dinner roll, couldn't you? Next verse. And a serpent could look like a fish. In fact, it's pretty hard to tell a snake from an eel sometimes. They're both the same family. What kind of evil father would play tricks on his child and give them something that appeared to be what they want, but it was bad for them? And so God's not going to appear like he's given you what you prayed for and then give you something that's painful and worthless and mean and cruel. He may not give you that exact bread, but he's certainly not out to hurt you. That's important for just a moment here. Let's look at verse 11. If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good things to them that ask him? You earthly fathers, you admit you know more about what to give your children than they know what to ask for. That's what Jesus is saying. Look again at the words. Ye being evil, that doesn't mean they're necessarily wicked. It means they're imperfect. They're humans with faults and failures. And you fathers being evil, you know how to give good gifts unto your children. How much more will he that is perfect know how to give good gifts unto his children? Amen. In other words, God may not give you exactly what you asked for, but he will respond to your asking, and he will give you something, and you can rest assured of this. When God gives to us in response to our asking, it'll meet two qualifications. Number one, it'll be for our good, and it'll be for his glory. Amen. I want you to think about that. It'll be what is best for us. By the way, before we move forward there, I want you to look at one other word here. And I'm not trying to bore you with this, but it's so important. It says he knows how to give good gifts. In the Greek, there's two words you can use for good. One is agathos and the other is kalos. Agathos means it's good for you. It's beneficial. It's helpful. Kalos means it's good in appearance. It looks good. Jesus is very careful. He uses the word for good here, agathos. That which doesn't just look good, appear good, but that which is truly beneficial and helpful good. It's good for you. You see, here's our trouble with asking. We ask for things that look good to us, right? Just like a kid would. We ask for things that look good to us, but God gives us what truly is good for us. Don't we serve a good God? Amen. Amen. He'll not give something bad. It'll be something good. You know, this is kind of a personal thing, but there was a house years ago we looked at and we thought we really wanted that house. And it ended up we didn't get it. And the next people that got it were the people that bought it for months and months, probably over a year. Every time we went by, they were having to excavate. They had to dig the basement out. They had to do major structural things. I mean, just it was a huge, huge problem. And every time we went by, I said, oh, I'm so thankful we didn't get that house. Amen. And God gave us a house. We wanted that one, and he gave us another, and I'm glad he didn't give us the first one. Amen. I think if you serve God very long, you've learned to trust him, because some things look so good and you ask God for it. But today you can say, thank God he didn't give it to me. Amen. I've told you before, but Dr. Howard Hendricks used to talk about when he was a young man, there was a young lady that he just thought he wanted to marry. He would pray and pray, oh God, let her like me somehow, you know, help her to like me. I want to marry her. And she said she went out and married someone else. And he said, I didn't see her for 20 years, but after 20 years I saw her and I said, oh God, thank you that you didn't let me marry her. Have you ever been there? I mean, not that illustration, but have, Have you ever wanted something so badly? And you ask God, and you even got upset at God, and you got disappointed at God, and you got discouraged, and you said, God, your word doesn't work. It's not true. You didn't give me what I asked for. But if you've been patient and serving and living for Him, you probably have come to a place and said, oh, God, I'm so grateful that you didn't give me the exact thing. You didn't give me the bread, and you didn't give me a stone, but what you gave me was good for me. Amen. And now, look, I said, not only is it good for you, but He gives us what honors Him. You know, that's something that some people don't even think about. We Christians ought to think about that in all of our lives. Our jobs, our homes, our automobiles, everything in our lives. When we're asking God for things, we ought to be saying, God, don't just give it to me because I want it, but God, give me what will bring glory to you. Christians don't even think that way anymore, but that's the way we're to live. Amen. And some people see these things as separate and even antithetical. It's either got to be good for me or it's got to be for God's glory. It can't be both. Could I suggest that what is good for me in God's eyes will bring Him glory? And what will bring Him glory in my life will be good for me. That's the way we as believers live. Jesus says you're imperfect. You know what your children need. God's perfect. He knows what His children need. You know what that tells me? Two things. Number one, what He gives us is based on His knowledge. It says, if you've then been evil, know how. And the parallel is, God knows how to give good things. Did you know when God gives us something, He does so in the context that He knows everything about us. God never gives something or withholds something without following this. Here it is. Number one, He knows everything about us. He knows everything about our future. He knows everything about our feelings. He knows everything, and He gives us based on His knowledge. Secondly, He gives to us based on His character. If you then being evil give good gifts, how much more shall not your heavenly Father give good things? He's perfect. He's not evil. Amen. You can trust God to give you the right things because of His character. Now, if you'll listen, let me give you a little nugget here that will help. What I'm trying to say here, God gives us according to His knowledge and His character. Here's the thing. Many times in your life and mine, we will not understand God's ways. Why not this, God? How come you didn't answer this prayer? It's okay to question God's ways, but don't ever question His motive. You may not understand His ways, but His motive is always good and for our benefit. He's perfect. He gives us what is best. If you live for God very long, you're going to discover that there's times you thought what you thought was good ended up bad, and what you thought was bad ended up good. Have you lived that long yet to discover that? Last of all, the contribution. What does God actually give? Look at verse 11 one more time. Good gifts. Here's the problem we get into this asking, seeking, and knocking. So often we jump to the material realm, material things. We ask God for material things. A car, a house, a better job, better physical health. And make no mistake, all of those are good gifts that come from God. I like what James says. He says, every good and perfect gift cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. If there's any good thing in your life, including the material, that's a gift from God. Your health is a gift from God. But in this asking, seeking, and knocking, we limit that to material things. But let's take the same message of Jesus in the Gospel of Luke. Now remember, what I just read, He gives good things, and He doesn't specify. But Luke gives us an example of a good thing. Look in Luke, you say that real fast. Look in Luke chapter 11 and verse 13. If ye then, being evil, same message, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give? He gives us an example of a good thing, the Holy Spirit. That's not a material thing. It's not an earthly thing. It's not a physical thing. It's a spiritual thing. And so this asking, seeking, knocking, maybe we've limited it too much to the material realm when what God really wants to give us is spiritual things. Have you prayed for the fruit of the Spirit in your life lately? I know I need it. How many knows you need the fruit of the Spirit? Don't you think that would be one of the good things he wants to give us? The fruit of the Spirit. And so let me summarize tonight. We need to keep on asking. We need to ask right. The right way to ask is as a child before his father with humility and dependence, not demanding, not arguing with God, but asking as a dependent child with faith and trust in a loving father. Ask right. Ask for the right thing. You know, I got to thinking about this. Jesus never said, but I couldn't get away from him. He said, if your son asks for a fish, will you give him a serpent? You know what the problem with some folks are, even Christians? They're actually asking for serpents. They really are. They're asking for rocks. Ask for the right thing. We could talk about James. He says, you're not receiving because you're asking with the wrong motive for the wrong thing. Next of all, ask with the right motive. It's not just about what will benefit me, what I want, what I like, but oh God, do it for the glory and your glory. Amen. Could you come, music? Let me ask you some questions real quick. What are you asking God for right now? Are you asking for anything? Are you praying? Are you asking for wisdom? Are you asking for the Holy Spirit at work in your life? Are you seeking for what only God can give you? Are you seeking for spiritual things? Are you seeking for God's help? Are you seeking for guidance? Are you knocking with an urgency? When's the last time you knocked on God's door, so to speak, and said, God, I've got to have more of you. I must have help. Amen. We're to be asking, seeking, and knocking. The story was told of a businessman that was getting late for a very important business meeting. And when he came to the building where the meeting was going to be, there was no parking places. And so he's going to go around the block again. He's not living for God. He's not a good Christian. So as he went around the block and was coming up to the building again, he said, God, if you will miraculously provide me a parking space, I'll go to church every Sunday. He looked up through the windshield. I'll go to church every Sunday, and I'll quit drinking, and I'll quit cursing. Amen. And when he lowered his eyes, there was a parking place right there. And he said, never mind, God, I found one for myself. Did you know sometimes we never mind God? At first we're asking, at first we're seeking, at first we're not. And it was, never mind, God, I decided on this. Or never mind, God, you didn't get it to me when I thought you should have got it to me. Never mind, God, I've given up on that. I don't think it's time to never mind God out of frustration, doubt, or weariness, or lack of faith. I think it's time to continue to be persistent, asking, seeking, knocking, knowing that we have a good Father who, based on His knowledge and His character, gives us the very things that are good for us. Amen. Could you stand? Jesus, thank you for your word. May it continue to ring in our hearts past this time together. And Lord, the really good thing that you love to give folks is salvation of heart and mind. Lord, if there's any here tonight that don't know you, let them know that you have the gift of eternal life to give to them, the gift of forgiveness, the gift of a clean heart and mind. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. This is kind of a really odd thing to ask, but how many after the message tonight can think of something and you say, you know, I really need to get back to asking God for that. I really need to start seeking God for that again. I really need to start knocking about that again. Could you help me out tonight and be honest? How many can think of something you need to get back to asking God for? Amen. Hands all over the building. Let's come ask, seek, and knock tonight. Could we do that? If you need the Lord, just come with folks while they're coming to pray, and folks will be here to pray with you tonight in the altar. Hallelujah. I mean, literally, I know you're coming. God bless you for coming. But really ask tonight and keep on asking. And seek in these altars and keep seeking and and knock in these altars. I mean, let's get a hold of God tonight. God, I got to have your help. I'm a beggar. I'm a searcher. I'm desperate, Lord. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's come asking, seeking, and knocking. Hallelujah. Praise your name, Lord. Praise your name, Lord. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, let's hear, let's have some asking in these altars tonight. He's a good Father. He knows you. He knows you. He knows you. Based on His knowledge and His character, He'll give you the good things. Amen.
Cry.